Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Classic Rock Show on Huntley Community Radio, WHRULP, the mighty, did I say the mighty, 101.5 FM. I'm one of your co-hosts, Jim Samaria.
Greetings, loyal listeners, and I'm your other co-host, Mr. Mark Plotnick. Each week, Jim and I bring you songs, insights, and interviews covering rock music and more from the 1950s through the 1980s, or wherever the music takes us.
Mark and I are authors of the book Classic Rock, Photographs from Yesterday and Today, which features my photography of classic rock era artists from 1973 to present day with words with my man, Mr. Mark Plotnick.
Well, in keeping with the bromance theme, you also demand.
Love you, bro.
Well, and by the way, our book is part of the library and archives at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame Museum in Cleveland, Ohio, and is available online at Amazon, the gift page at the Illinois Rock and Roll Museum's website, or at Jim Samaria's webpage at, of course, jimsamariaphoto.com.
You said that very good.
Thank you.
Thank you. Today, we are so excited to have in our studio Mr. Chip Brooks. He is one of the owners of Hey Nani Music Venue and Restaurant in Arlington Heights.
And on Thursday, May 19th, Hey Nani will celebrate the 77th birthday of Pete Townshend from The Who. There'll be two special concerts by Jason Narduzzi and Doug Julin. Thank you.
Very good. That was very good. Is that all, Mark? And there's something else happening at Hey Nani?
And there's more.
There's more.
All right. Jim will have a baker's dozen. What is a baker's dozen?
13.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Jim will have a baker's dozen of his exclusive Who photos from their 1975 tour on display inside Hey Nani's restaurant for the entire month of May.
The entire month, that's right.
The entire month.
Well, thank you for the plug, Mark. And now I think it's time to talk to our very special guest, Chip Brooks. Welcome, Chip.
Hey there, guys. How you doing?
Good,
very good, very good. You did that good. You have a good radio voice.
As they say, I got the face made for radio.
You do.
A very small sample, though.
You guys are rocking. You got the shameless promotion going. You got a little bromance going.
We're just good friends.
It's fantastic.
Well, let's get right to it. We're going to talk a little bit about you first and your decision to open up Hey Nani. Okay, so what I understand, you went to law school, became a lawyer, and then years later said to yourself, hey, I don't want to do this anymore. Why a music venue and why a restaurant?
Well, I always loved live music, and I don't know why or how I got it. I was a musician. I actually wasn't a musician. I was a drummer in my earlier days. That joke goes over with the family really well. So I always loved live music. And my, so we liked going to cool venues, especially in the city and everything. And eventually, as I decided to sort of leave the law after 35 years or so, I said it would be really cool to see if we could get a live music venue going that was cool in the suburbs close to our house, since we got tired of driving into the city. So that was our goal, just to see if we could get a music venue going in the suburbs.
Yeah, and it's a great venue, too. I love it. I've been there so many times. I loved your venue.
Well, Chip, you played the drums, but did you have any experience promoting or representing music acts, which is a totally different ballgame?
Yeah, really. And it would be good if I had some significant experience. It would have been really helpful, but not a lot. When I knew that I was thinking about getting a music venue together toward the end of my legal career, I did a couple of things. I became the world's oldest, and if I may brag, the worst intern that they ever had at Space in Evanston. They had an internship program. So I, even when I was flying around the country doing legal cases, I was working nights at Space, taking tickets and selling tickets and that sort of thing. So that was fun.
Well, this is an interesting question. Did anything in your law experience help you in opening a restaurant music venue, like contracts and things like that?
Yeah, not a thing, really. No, okay. I mean, I'm not afraid of looking at contracts, and, you know, we had some contracts to do. But when it came to regulatory things that we had to deal with, I have a business partner in this, Chris Dungan, mm-hmm. who came from the pharmaceutical business, also no use in setting up a music venue or a restaurant. But because he had this background in the pharmaceutical business, he was very good at reading regulations and things, really better than I was. So I think he probably took on more of the legal responsibilities than I did when we were getting it going.
What was it always in your mind to have it a restaurant and venue, or just a venue?
That's a really good question. It was never in my mind to have a restaurant, Jim. It was never a goal of mine. But in Arlington Heights, where we were going to put our beautiful venture, the lore is we don't have bars. We only have restaurants. apparently because there was some wickedness in the town's background that they were trying to wipe out. So when we were setting this up, really, in order to have a liquor license, which you need if you're going to have a music venue, you had to serve food. So you had to be a restaurant. Yeah. So we said, okay, then we're going to be a restaurant, you know, against our will, but we'll be a restaurant. And we said, if we're going to be a restaurant, we darn well better be a good one.
Well, you do have a good one. Like I said, Mark and I have been there several times, not only for the music, but for the food. And I love the fact that you could eat dinner and watch the bands, too, which is really cool.
You can, if you buy the right seats, you can
do that.
That's right.
Yeah.
No, the restaurants turned out really well because we put some effort into it. But we are, all shameless promotion, we're the top-rated restaurant on OpenTable in our area.
Whoa.
So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And the wine is quite good. Actually, one of the wines I've had at your restaurant, I ended up going to Binney's and ordering like a half a case.
Oh, that is great.
Yeah.
Do you remember what it was?
Yeah, it was the Russian Juggernaut.
Oh, the Juggernaut. Russian, yeah. Everybody loved the Juggernaut.
I love it.
Yeah.
So keep it on.
It's good.
Well, we're going to talk a little bit about Townsend. Why do you want to celebrate his birthday with a tribute concert on the 19th of May, and a photo display of my wonderful, great photos from their 1975 tour?
Well, Jim, really, the concert is secondary to the opportunity to show the photographs.
Thank
because
you.
The photographs are really pretty stellar. I think you'll agree.
Oh, gosh. Thank you.
So, no. We mentioned Doc Julin before, who does a show on this station on Sundays, I think, right? But Doc has played at Hey Nani over the years. Every once in a while, he shows up in different incarnations of different bands. And he's just a really wonderful, smart, talented guy. And he was mentioning to me, this is now a couple of years ago, that he and Jason Narduzzi had done some Pete Townsend-related stuff before. And I said, well, his birthday is coming up in May. Can we do a birthday celebration with you guys? And he said, sure, let's do that. So we did two shows a year ago, and it was really, really fun, really, really fun. And so he said, let's do it every year. And there's a little bit of a connection that I like to talk about in Arlington Heights. The Who actually played in Arlington Heights at the Cellar.
That's right.
In June of 1967. So we'll be celebrating the 55th anniversary of when The Who played Arlington Heights. So it'll be like kind of bringing Pete back home without actually having Pete here.
All That's right. pretty cool.
Well, speaking of The Who and Pete, it's time for a song by The Who. And our first song is the timeless classic, My Generation. A 21-year-old Townsend wrote the song for the rebellious British youth known as Mods. Nothing to do with mod pizza, by the way. It expressed their feeling that older people just didn't get what they were all about. Gee, where have I heard that before? Just about every generation. And, of course, the song contains a famous and rather ironic line, I hope to die before I get old, talking about my generation.
And guys, did you know that actually Roger Daltrey did have a stutter, and he had it under control, but the manager of the band, Kit Lambert, decided that, hey, you know, this would be kind of cool to have him stutter on those to make it look like, a youthful sound,
yeah.
You know. So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, that, you know, I didn't know that. Well, thank you, Jim.
Well, it's okay. That's what I'm here for.
Well, the song contains a nimble bass lead by John Entwistle, and actually was highly unusual at the time because guitarists and keyboard players were generally the only one assigned for playing lead riffs.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, I want everyone to listen to Keith Moon's fantastic drumming. And as Chip, I'm sure,
your favorite
as a
drummer,
there's got to be one of your top drummers.
Love him.
All right, let's hear My Generation.
People try to put us to down.
Talking about my generation.
Just because we get around.
Talking about my generation.
Things they do look awful.
Talking about my generation.
I hope I die before I get old.
Talking about my generation.
It's my generation. It's just my generation, baby. Why don't you all I dig what we all say. I'm not trying to cause a big sensation.
I'm
just talking about my generation.
Thank you.
what we all
We hope you are enjoying That Classic Rock Show on WHRULP Huntley Community Radio, 101.5 FM, where we play what, Jim?
The greatest music of all time.
That's right.
That's right.
Okay, let's get back to our guest, Chip Brooks from Heinani. What are some of the acoustical challenges when designing a listening room?
I laughed when I saw you guys were going to ask me this question because there are a lot. It turns out a really important part of the room, is obviously the sound system. And we hired a really great acoustical sound system designer, T.C. Furlong, to design that. And that has turned out great. It's sort of an interesting element to it. We not only wanted it to sound good, but we wanted it to look good on paper. Because when you're a small venue like ours, you have to impress the agents that you're the real deal. So our sound system had to look good when you looked at it on paper. In other words, we want it to be a calling card to say, these guys are serious. So TC designed a system that accomplished both our sonic goals and our on-paper goals.
Well, I know you're very proud of that. And actually, I've read several acts comment on how excellent the sound is in your listening room. So,
well, thanks. But so then we had another little challenge a couple of challenges on the acoustics. Right above Heinani, as you guys may or may not know, there's this the Metropolis Ballroom, which is a social hall. So there's a giant, very thin wooden floor right above Heinani, and you get people doing the hokey pokey and every other thing on there, on Saturday nights, loud. And so we had to control for that. And so we hired an acoustical engineer specializing in, space design to counsel us on how do we design the space to insulate it from that sound from above. And he came up with this really interesting technical solution, which is kind of boring on the radio, but we'll talk about it anyway. It's three layers of acoustical drywall hung on special sound deadening hangers in the ceiling. And our ceiling has zero holes in it. Nothing can be be punched through that ceiling, and it actually works. We've had people up there bouncing up and down. You do not hear it in our space.
So no more hokey pokey sounds.
No more.
Heinani.
No.
Well, I just say that really quick. No more hokey pokey sounds at Heinani.
You know, Hope and I stayed at this hotel once in Wisconsin where they had a polka band above our room. You do need good. You do need good acoustics and soundproofing.
You got to stay at better motels than that. $29.99 a night.
Actually, it was, I think, $35 a
night. Was it $35? Yeah, you had coupons.
If it's a polka band, you want to hear it.
Yeah.
While we're talking about the sound, a couple questions about your sound. Who does your sound engineering? Because they do a great job. Where did you find them? And who does your lighting? And where did you find them? And do some acts come in and bring their own people?
Yeah, we're really lucky in the sound and lights area. We have a wonderful, wonderful production manager, Rob Reif, who actually just lives a couple blocks away in Arlington Heights. We just got together when Heinani started, and he has really just taken control of it. And he's just brilliant in that he's really experienced, and so he's able to make all different kinds of bands feel comfortable as they come in and, get used to the space and do their sound check. And then our operations manager in the venue, Matt Rusinek, had a little bit of a career as a lighting designer before he came to us at Hey Nonny. So he's able to do some really cool programming with our lights. You know, we don't do wildly fancy things, but he makes some cool stuff happen. And in terms of bands bringing in their own sound engineers, it has happened a few times, and it's been very interesting because it's a little bit of a lesson in the uniqueness of the room and the sound system. Like, people like the system when they bring in their own engineers, but sound checks take three times as long because they're trying to figure out the stuff that our sound engineers already know.
Well, one thing I'll say for Rob is the last show I went to see, Mark and I went to see Dinosaur Exhibit, some friends of ours who have been on the show, and they have brass in it, they have, you know, bass, they have guitars, they got everything, and the sound was absolutely perfect. And I was moving around taking photos, so I was on the left side of the room, the right side of the room, the center of the room, and everything sounded beautifully all the way through.
Yeah, it's very well balanced.
Yeah, and, exactly. That's the word I was looking for. Thanks. Yeah.
It was funny, when we opened, one of the first bands we had was the Zydeco band, C.J. Chenier.
Oh, sure.
And the band got a little liquored up. I'll say that. But, you know, they're touring around, and they like the sound. Oh, yeah. And so, like, they drunkenly were going to our sound guy, would you like to go on the road with us now? No, don't take him away. We just got open.
One of my wife's favorite Zydeco acts. Well, Chip, what is your philosophy behind the types of acts that you like to bring in, or do you think your audiences might want to hear?
Our philosophy focuses mostly on mid-century existentialism. No, that was a little philosophy
yeah,
joke.
I was going,
where is he going
yeah,
with
where
that?
Is it? Yeah.
No, I mean, our whole theory is to try to do a bunch of different kinds of music, you know, not to focus on one genre. And, you know, so we do blues, jazz, folk, rock and roll, as you know. You know, the Zydeco, obviously. So we try to focus on a lot of different kinds of things on the theory that in the suburbs, there's not one audience that's going to save the day for us. We need to find a bunch of different audiences. So I'd say goal number one is to cover a bunch of different genre bases. And number two, to always have good people. I mean, people have to rely on us. You know, we're trying to become a curator for good music and have people say, you know, okay, I didn't hear these guys, but if they're at Hey Nonny, they're probably pretty good.
Yeah, that'll lead me to another question, which I'm going to ask later. But, Jim?
Well, I think it's time for a Who song. What do you guys think?
Let's do it.
All right. We're going to do a song of the Tommy album called The Acid Queen. As everyone knows, Tommy came out in 1969, and it was the Townsend rock opera album. And the basic story is it's about a boy who's spiritually and psychologically deaf, dumb, and blind. But he's very gifted at playing pinball, which obviously the Pinball Wizard song comes from.
Yep. Well, regarding our next song, it is The Acid Queen. And, of course, The Acid Queen was, and I'm using this word now, amoral. You know what amoral means?
I don't have my thesaurus.
Okay.
With me.
All right. Without morality of any sort.
Thank you.
Well, anyway, she was an immoral character in the Tommy saga, who tried to get the deaf, dumb, and blind boy out of his shell, and despite all of her powers, she failed.
She gave it a shot, though, didn't she?
Yes, she did.
Good old Acid Queen. Anyway, Townsend's the lead singer on this, which he didn't do too many songs, so I think he does a great job on it. So let's hear Acid Queen from the record album, Tommy.
If your child ain't all he should be now, this girl can put him right. I'll show him what he could be now. Just give me. Gypsy Queen must
his fingers clutch.
Love that song, Acid Queen. Do you like the whole Tommy album?
You know, when it came out, Jim, I was not impressed.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I was a little behind the curve on The Who. Mm-hmm. I was really into My Generation, and I Can See for Miles.
Yeah.
But then I didn't quite get the rock opera thing.
Oh, okay. How about you, Chip? Did you like Tommy right off the bat?
I did like it. I thought it was really, like, interesting, like an interesting experiment.
Yeah,
I'm not sure I understood the whole thing, but
yeah,
it was really
I didn't understand the story too much because this was junior year of high school, 69. But I thought it was really, really cool. Of course, the albums it came out with after that were phenomenal. But you know, I think that's the cool thing about Townsend. He was always trying to go further than everybody else. So let's go back to Hey Nani. Chip, are there any acts you'd love to book, but have been difficult to get? You know, maybe you could get Townsend himself because sometimes he tours solo.
Yeah, we actually have tried those things, but you know, in the music world, it turns out that you know there's an ecosystem there, and you know Pete Townsend and the Pete Townsend of the world, and anybody that's remotely in that thing, they're just not gonna play Hey Nani, and so there's a billion people we'd love to have there, and we've always had the fantasy, well, wouldn't it be cool, you know, like somebody great is in town, but they would want to do like an intimate little show at a 110 cap venue. That's just really not likely to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, the most thing that happens for us is, you know, like we'll have Jimmy Chamberlain from the Smashing Pumpkins plays there, but he plays with his
jazz band. Yeah.
Yeah. So those are just great things for us. But there's plenty of wonderful musicians out there that are not world famous.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's there needs to be more outlets for these types of people as well. So that's one of the things we like about your venue.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's close out the first half of our show with The Who's version of the Mose Allison song, Young Man Blues, from The Who's 1970 album, Live at Leeds.
And you know, as good as The Who were in the studio, their greatest strength was definitely on stage.
Mm-hmm.
I was very fortunate to see them several times. And their live performance, recorded live at Leeds, really captures their raw and powerful sound. But unfortunately, you can't see their energy in theatrics. So I suggest all our listeners watch a video of the band performing live or rent a DVD or something. And of all the bands I photographed, I got to tell you, The Who, by far, were the most fun to capture on film.
Yeah, and you know, a great movie, Jim, as long as you're making suggestions, the film The Kids Are All Right,
yeah.
The documentary is an excellent place to start.
So let's play the great song by the great Who, Young Man Blues.
Well, a young man ain't got nothing in the world these days. I said a young man ain't got nothing in the world these days. I
in the old days, when a young man was a strong man. All the people, they step back when a young man walked by. But you know nowadays, it's the old man, he's got all the money. And a young man ain't got nothing in the world.
That was Young Man Blues by The Who. Please stay tuned for part two of their classic rock show. We are talking with Chip Brooks, co-owner of Hey Nonny in Arlington Heights on Huntley Community Radio, WHRULP 101.5 FM and on demand 24/7.